Paul, in writing the letter to the Colossians, pulls together many themes, not just from this letter, but from many of his letters, dealing with how one approaches one's sister or brother in the family of faith. So often we in the church get to being just like a regular family. And that can be good, and that can be bad. I was watching my own family yesterday, the day before, on Christmas morning, and watching how just the littlest thing can cause a disagreement. The lift of an eyebrow just a certain way. The cock of a head to one side in response to a question. It gets to be a little disquieting to be in one's family. We all know that. And we all know the very specific things that drive our sisters and brothers and mothers and dads and children nuts. And for some reason, we are really good at doing those specific things that drive them absolutely batty. My brother knows how much I detest his response, his sarcastic response of the lifting of the left eyebrow when I say something that I thought was profound. Sort of mocking Spock. And it used to make me angry, still makes me angry. And my brother did it about 9 times on Christmas Day. To the point that I wanted to strangle my brother. And I was going from reviewing my notes for this morning to wanting to kill my brother. And that was a rather schizophrenic time for me because of what Paul says about what it means to live as God's chosen ones. Notice what he says. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Now let's take each one of those in turn. Compassion. The word, it's 2 words in Greek here, literally means gut felt. Gut. The Greek word is a wonderful one. You have to spray people when you say it with spit. Splachna. The heartfelt or gut felt. Remember, the ancient people didn't think with their heads and feel with their hearts. They thought with their hearts and felt with their guts. All right? So your centermost emotional center, gut felt, compassion, love towards another. Heartfelt, deeply felt compassion. We're called to clothe ourselves with gut, heartfelt, innermost felt compassion. What do you do when you want to strangle that person? You still are called to heartfelt compassion. Kindness. This word translates an idea of being beneficial towards God and towards others. We are called to clothe ourselves with the attitude and state of being a benefit to others. Humility. There's not very much humility in most families, okay? Mine especially. This word translates an idea meaning lacking self toward attention and concern. We're called to lack self-turned, self-toward attention and concern. No longer me, myself, and I, but others first. No longer what I want. No longer is the attitude to be, there are only 2 ways of doing anything, the wrong way and my way. No. Lacking self-toward attention or concern is what is meant by this word, which we translate as humility. Here's another terrible one. Meekness. Ugh. There are two words that are usually translated meek into English. One of those words is an equestrian word, which means tamed or controlled. Tamed or controlled, brought under the yoke of a master. It's used of a horse that has been broken to the bridle and the saddle. It's still strong, it's still powerful, it can still do great things, but it is no longer wild. It is controlled. It also contains an idea. And that's the word that's used here, by the way. It also contains the idea of gentleness. So very strong, but under such control that it can gently work its way through a field laid with eggs and not step on a single one. Great care, in other words, is the idea communicated here. Meekness, not as in milquetoastness, but meekness as in controlled, under the control of a master, of a Lord, of God. And now we get the hard one. Patience. Usually when I have to have patience, I become a patient, or need to become a patient in a hospital. The word here means a state of emotional calm in the face of provocation or misfortune, and without, all right, here we go, without complaint or irritation. That's a pretty tall order, isn't it? Let me read that again. A state of emotional calm in the face of provocation or misfortune, and without complaint or irritation. Oops. Oops. I would say that I batted a zero on every one of these on Christmas Day. I was getting impatient with my brother's impatience. I was not particularly charitable and compassionate with his lack of meekness. I wanted to beat the heck out of him for not being humble. And because he refused to be beneficial towards others, I wanted to strangle him. Now, how was I reflecting God? I wasn't. I was failing. And that reflects the reality that most of us experience, not just in our biological families, but unfortunately that reflects the reality of the church, doesn't it? Maybe not so violently, but sometimes it is hard for us to have compassion and kindness, to be beneficial towards others, to lack a self-toward attention and concern, to be gentle and controlled and patient. Sometimes it's so hard to be all of these things. But Paul doesn't end it here. Look at the next verse. Bear with one another. I mean, he knows that this is not easy. He knows this is hard. He understands because he has experienced it himself in his own churches, the churches he founded. He experienced it in Corinth. He experienced it in Galatia. He experienced it in Ephesus. He experienced it wherever he pastored. The reality that families, just like families of biological, just like families of faith, they all tend to end up in squabbles because of human beings being what they are. He says, bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, I mean, he realizes it's going to happen. If anyone has a complaint against another, beat the heck out of... No, no. Forgive. Oh, Paul. forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. Yuck. Now watch. My brother was supposed to have been, he claimed, he told me, he expounded up and down one side and the other at home on Christmas morning that he was going to be at Christmas Eve service here at St. Stephen, like he came to Easter. He was going to be there. Watch him be there this morning for our second service today. What am I going to preach then? Forgive. Hear that again. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Must I? Do I have to? Do I gotta? Yep. That's what it says. This is one of those places where Paul is loosely paraphrasing Jesus in those red letter passages in the Gospels. Forgive. I don't wanna. Sorry. You've been forgiven. Well, I don't wanna. What did we pray just a few minutes before in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I don't wanna. Sorry. That's non-negotiable. Well, how? He tells us in the very next sentence. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Better translated, which binds everything together in completeness. In completeness. The word here for love isn't phileo, like. He doesn't say, clothe yourself with the mandate to like everybody. No. Clothe yourself with agape. Divine love. The love that considers the other's needs as essential to your own, indeed, as more important to you than your own. Clothe yourselves with agape. With divine, inspired love. And that will bind you together in completeness, in totality. That is what empowers our forgiveness. That is what empowers our familyhood, both in our biological families and in the family of God, the church. Well, I don't particularly like them. We're not being told to like them. I don't like what they do, how they talk, what they smell like. We're not being told to like that. We're being called to love, to consider their needs, their concerns, as essential to you. Indeed, is more essential to you than your own. Well, that's a tall order. Yes, it is. But it's precisely what Jesus did when he became incarnate as a baby, and as he grew up and eventually died for us. He considered our needs above his own. He considered our needs to be forgiven as a being above his to live. Oh, I guess I have to, but I don't wanna. Well, that's where God's grace comes in. Remember, we began this year in a strange way. Some of you kind of questioned me on it, but we're gonna do it again. We're gonna do it again next Sunday. But this Sunday, we're gonna complete the process. The first Sunday of 2009, I had us begin by saying, looking forward into the future, I had us begin by saying in faith, but in the past tense, we made it through 2009. Remember that? Some of you said, no, we're not there yet. Yeah, we're doing this by faith. Looking forward, but speaking in the past tense. We made it through 2009. Here it is, the last Sunday of 2009. I want you to say with me, we made it through 2009. Come on, say that with me. We made it through 2009. Despite the hardship, despite the arguing, despite the confusion, despite the disagreements, despite the boo-boos, the hurt bruises, despite the hurt feelings, nevertheless, we made it through 2009. And guess what? We'll have an opportunity next Sunday to do the same thing for 2010. And it's a call to faith. I want us to consider, as the family of God, as we approach and pass through New Year's Eve and day, where in our lives, where in our living as the family of God here at St. Stephen, where can we be compassionate, beneficial, lacking in self-toward attention, gentle and controlled, and patient with each other and with the community in which we live? Consider these, and you can even use the word straight out of the scripture, compassionate, kind, humility, meekness, patience. Where in 2010 can we be active with each of these points in Paul's call to us for the new year? Where can we take these words and make them an integral part of our living in all that we do, in our committee work, in our outreach work, in our good works for others, in reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ, in being a light to the nations, in singing for elation, in ringing the bells, in all that we do in every aspect of our service, on every committee that we serve? Where can we express compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience? That is my question for us as we move on through New Year's Eve and New Year's Day and into 2010.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2009 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.